This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Glory, hallelujah, we have a new FBI director. We'll talk about that tonight. Benjamin Weingarten joins us. Who is Kash Patel? What's going on with this spat with Zelensky and Trump? All that coming up on I'm Right.
I'd shut down the FBI Hoover building on day one and reopening the next day as a museum of the deep state.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited right now. Kash Patel, it's official, is the new head of the FBI. Now, before we get into the FBI and before we have our wonderful show tonight about all kinds of things, FBI, Ukraine, all kinds of things, I want you to take a moment and reach back if your arms are long enough and pat yourself on the back. Now, you're probably sitting there thinking, well, what did I do? I didn't do anything. No, listen to me. When Donald Trump got elected, the GOP Senate, talking about the Senate here, you know, that's where freedom goes to die. The GOP Senate, they thought, they had a little moment where they thought they were going to try to stop Trump from draining the swamp. Because rest assured, as we've talked about many, many times before, it's not just the communists who want the swamp to stay just the way it is. Establishment GOPers are just as evil and just as corrupt. They know they have to lie during election season, but Mitch McConnell hates you twice as much as Chuck Schumer has ever hated you. These people don't want reform. They don't want changes. They certainly don't want the books opened up. So anyway, Trump gets elected. And he has, I was shocked at how amazing most of the picks were. Some I didn't like, but for the most part, they were reformers. How long have we talked about that on this show? Reformers, people who are not going to look outward, people who are going to take over a government program, a bureaucracy of some kind, and try to reform it, drain the swamp. Trump was just rolling out reformer after reformer, and Hegseth, and Tulsi, and RFK, and all these things. And the GOP Senate, for about 5 minutes, they thought to themselves, no, we'll put a stop to that. Yeah, Trump won, and we know we have to play nice with Trump, but no, we're not just going to let these reformers come in and change things. No, we're not going to allow any change. And you remember, they did. The first one was Matt Gaetz. You remember that? Matt Gaetz was like the first one Trump announced. Hey, my AG is Matt Gaetz. And immediately the swamp, no, absolutely not. Stop. He can't. He won't have the votes. No. And they won. That was the thing they won. Matt Gaetz lasted a couple days, made the rounds on the Hill, and didn't look like he was going to have the votes, backed out. And right about that point in time, the GOP Senate was feeling pretty good. The establishment types, nice. Yeah, they got Trump, but we're not going to allow any actual reforms. And then came Pete Hegseth. And they decided to try it again, of course. Now, they were being careful about the whole thing, but it was Joni Ernst. Don't think I've forgotten about you, Joni Ernst. It was the Joni Ernst types. It was the Lindsey Graham types. And people talk in Washington, D.C. I heard the same things you heard. They were working behind the scenes to try to stop Pete Hegseth. He wants to come in and reform things at the Pentagon and audit. Well, no, we can't have that. Hey, I got a lot of money on the line. And they started to make statements. Well, like, I'm very concerned about these allegations. Well, I'm just not quite sure yet. They started to pretend as if they were really considering things, but what they wanted was to stop it. And so as soon as they started voicing their concern, they started to feel heat. From you. You are as responsible for what happened today with Kash Patel as anything else out there right now. This is your doing. You put the pressure on these scumbags. Joni Ernst, I heard this, I know this for a fact. Her office phone and email system was practically melting with your hatred of you better vote for Pete Hegseth. Who do you think you are? And she caught so much heat that we finally had senators going on stage. I remember Lisa Murkowski going on stage saying, and now they're even threatening Joni Ernst with a primary? This is crazy. Well, Joni Ernst learned a valuable lesson, and so did the rest of the GOP. Notice how all the rest of them sailed right through. Oh yeah, we had the little Mitch McConnell votes, but they're all in. Congratulations to you. All right, on to Kash Patel. We have somebody who's going to look inward.
We will go out and find the conspirators, not just in government, but in the media. Yes, we're going to come after the people in the media who lied about American citizens, who helped Joe Biden rig presidential elections. We're going to come after you. Whether it's criminally or civilly, we'll figure that out. But yeah, we're putting you all on notice.
It's time to go after bad guys. Bad guys inside of the system. No more of this crusading, looking for this, so that it's time to actually drain the swamp. And inside the Hoover building, well, that's where the sword and shield is, isn't it? The Federal Bureau of Investigation, mostly courtesy of Barack Obama. I realize it's always had problems, but Barack Obama got in there, cleaned out all the real crime fighters, replaced them all with card-carrying communists who would do communist things. That is, wage war on you, wage war on the political opponents of Democrats, and they've done that. And they've been doing it for years, and they've been loving it. And they have so much power. I've said several times, the FBI, if it is not brought to heel, if Kash Patel is not successful in bringing the FBI to heel, I mean this 100%, I believe the FBI will end the United States of America as you know it. I do. Because the communists cannot control themselves, so they'll continue to attack us and attack us and attack us, and that will eventually lead to red states forming up against the FBI. Now you have a square off with the federal government against the states. You see where this is going. If the FBI is not brought to heel, it will end America. It will. That is Cash's duty. And he knows it. And the good news is the bad guys inside the FBI, they're afraid.
It is a place in utter disarray right now. People are worried about, how am I going to pay the bills? How am I going to support my family? If I lose, you know, if you're anywhere in the middle of that career, not close to retirement, if you get fired, you're done. That's the end of your reputation, your ability to get a new job. You lose your pay. You lose your chance at a pension. You lose your health insurance. This is a moment of terror for these people. It is absolutely disgraceful that they are being put through this in the middle of some political gamesmanship or act of retribution. They don't deserve to be treated this way. It's unlawful and it's disgusting.
Moment of terror, huh? Huh. And that's interesting. If you're in the FBI, why would you be afraid? I bet I know. I bet I know. I bet the answer is you're a disgusting communist apparatchik, and you have taken your role, your critical role at the FBI, and you chose to, instead of enforcing the law, instead of going after criminals, you instead chose to go after the political opponents of Democrats while protecting Democrats like Joe Biden. That's how we ended up with an FBI director so mentally twisted that he could, with a straight face, announce that the biggest threat in this country is white supremacy when you've never even met a white supremacist.
A huge chunk of those domestic terrorism investigations involve racially motivated, violent extremist motivated terrorist attacks. And the majority of those, of the racially motivated violent extremist attacks, are fueled by some kind of white supremacy.
That was, of course, a lie. Why'd they tell that lie? Well, they spent years calling you a white supremacist Nazi. Then you get the FBI to direct all of its efforts against white supremacy. And look at that. We get to arrest Republicans at will. That's why. Everyone knew that was the game. And you have to feel happy today for guys like Steve Friend, Marcus Allen, Garrett O'Boyle, the brave whistleblowers who didn't remain silent when the FBI turned into the Cheka, the guys who stepped up and spoke up bravely.
It appears that I was retaliated against because I forwarded information to my superiors and others that questioned the official narrative of the events of January 6th. As a result, I was accused of promoting conspiratorial views and unreliable information. Because I did this, the FBI questioned my allegiance to the United States.
Mr. Friend, you ever been to a school board meeting?
Yes, I have.
FBI ever sent you to the parking lot of a school board meeting?
Yes, they have.
And in the parking lot of a school board meeting where the FBI sent you, you were taking down information regarding people's license plates.
That's correct.
But the FBI will crush you. This government will crush you and your family.
if you try to expose the truth about things that they are doing that are wrong. And we are all examples of that.
I hope Kash Patel chooses to make those gentlemen whole. They certainly deserve it. They've sacrificed so much for this country. And let's talk about that. Kash Patel, I'm a fan, don't get me wrong. I'm a fan. I'm thrilled about this. I'm doing backflips. But he has a mountain to climb. An evil secret state police agency is not just going to lay down for the new director. They have been working tirelessly since Donald Trump won that election to hide their evil deeds. God only knows how many emails have been deleted, phone records, evidence. God only knows the horrible things they've been doing as they prepare to have someone come in and shed light on them. They know Kash Patel is going to do things like, hey, who decided to designate school board moms as terrorists?
Parents who have the courage to ensure their children are taught what they feel is right. And those who have the courage of their convictions to go houses of worship, in my book, will never be domestic terrorists.
Will you find out who was involved in this policy within the FBI, who agreed with it, who implemented it, who encouraged it? Will you find out that, Mr. Patel? Will you do an internal investigation? And will you make clear that those who supported this policy are appropriately disciplined? And will you make clear that the FBI will never do something like this again?
If confirmed and pursuant to your congressional request, absolutely, Senator.
Thank you.
A mountain to climb. Now, how are we going to know if he's climbing that mountain? What indication are we going to have? I'm not inside the Hoover building, neither are you. So what are we going to look for? Well, guys have to be arrested. FBI agents are going to have to go to prison. If Kash Patel finishes his 4 years as FBI director without any current FBI agents going to prison, Kash Patel is a failure. I can't lay it out any more clearly than that. What guys? I don't know. Let's start with Elvis Chan.
I was very involved. Our field office, FBI San Francisco, was very involved in helping to protect the U.S. elections in 2020. And I think we can all agree, or I think many of us can agree, that it was a very safe election. We talked with all of these entities I mentioned regularly, at least on a monthly basis, and right before the election, probably on a weekly basis, right? If they were seeing anything unusual, if we were seeing anything unusual, sharing intelligence with technology companies, with social media companies, so that they could protect their own platforms, right?
Yeah. Using your position as special agent in the FBI to ensure Facebook censors a very truthful story about Hunter Biden so Joe Biden can win an election and Donald Trump doesn't get another 4 years, that's a prison sentence. Kash Patel has a mountain to climb. I have no doubt he is the man for the job. We shall see. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. Benjamin Weingarten joins me next to talk about what comes next. Now, what comes next for you and your company is you need to go get a RAMP corporate card, okay? Get a RAMP card. Stop stressing expense season. How often do you do expenses? Every month? Every few months? Quarterly? It's a nightmare, isn't it? Chasing down those receipts, trying to figure out what category, what goes where. It's freaking horrible. Yeah, it takes time. It's stressful. No one can find it. Check your email. I know exactly what you're going through. Get the RAMP card because it does it all for you. That expense day that's miserable, it's gone now, thanks to RAMP. And now, for a limited time, listeners of this show get $250 when they join RAMP. Go to ramp.com/Jesse. That's ramp.com/Jesse. Cards issued by Sutton Bank, member FDIC. Terms and conditions apply. We'll be back.
Having been the victim of government overreach and a weaponized system of justice and law enforcement, I know what it feels like to have the full weight of the United States government barreling down on you. And as the Biden Inspector General determined those activities by the FBI and DOJ were wholly improper and not predicated upon law and facts, I will ensure, if confirmed, that no American is subjected to that kind of torment, to that kind of cost, financially and personally. And most importantly, I will make sure that no American is subjected to death threats like I was, and subjected to moving their residences like I was, because of government overreach, because of leaks of information about my personal status. If confirmed as FBI director, Mr. Chairman, you have my commitment that no one in this country will feel that pain.
Gosh, I'm excited because he seems angry, and I want a bunch of FBI people going to prison. Joining me now, Benjamin Weingarten, editor at large for Real Clear Investigations. Okay, Ben, what can we expect? I obviously am as familiar with Cash as anyone who does what we do, but I've never met the man. We're not friends. What kind of guy is this?
Well, I think from everything that we know in his career, in what he's said in podcasts and TV interviews and beyond, this is someone who has worked in all of the core agencies of the national security, intelligence, and law enforcement apparatus. He has investigated the investigators. He has paid a dear price, as he just laid out there, for having exposed rot, corruption, politicization, and weaponization within the deep state. He was never captured by those entities, and then he was targeted by them himself. With the DOJ, while he was investigating the DOJ's own misconduct, to put it lightly, with respect to all things Trump-Russia collusion, he was having his records surveilled, his communications surveilled under subpoena for years. So this is someone who's worked in the belly of the beast. He has exposed its corruption, and he has been targeted by it himself. And who better to be put in the position of FBI director, which has been the tip of the spear in politicization and weaponization of the national security and intelligence apparatus, than Cash Patel?
Ben, can you do me a favor and lay out that case in a little more detail for those who forget it? Because obviously inside baseball nerds like you and I understand the story, but who did that to Cash? How did that happen? Lay that out for people who forget.
Well, you have to go back a little bit in time to those not so heady days of late 2016, 2017, when you had the House Intelligence Committee, then led by Devin Nunes, who himself faced the wrath of the Uniparty in the deep state. And he was working through top investigators, namely including Cash Patel, to blow the lid off the Trump-Russia collusion hoax. And Patel played an integral role at the start in exposing the weaponization and violations of civil liberties by the government in pursuit of Trump via the fraud foisted on the secret surveillance intelligence FISA court, whereby the government was spying on a foreign policy advisor, Carter Page, under the guise of the idea that he was somehow corrupted by the Russians, tied to the Russians, and using the surveillance on Carter Page as a window into surveilling on Trump world writ large. And what Cash Patel exposed was that they foisted, they being DOJ, FBI, and others, foisted a fraud on the FISA court because there was no there in the justification for surveilling, for spying on an American citizen and violating his liberties in Carter Page. While Devin Nunes's committee and Cash Patel as lead investigator was working to blow the lid off the corruption, which exposed that from the start, Russian collusion was a total hoax and a fraud and a way to sabotage and subvert Trump's presidency, he faced threats from the Justice Department that he was investigating, reportedly, that they might go about subpoenaing his communications records, according to reports. But little did he know that when that threat was made, before the so-called Devin Nunes memo came out on the Carter Page FISA court fraud at the start of exposing all of Russiagate, the DOJ already had subpoenaed Cash Patel's communications and the communications of a whole slew of staffers on the House Intelligence Committee, on the Senate Judiciary Committee, on the Senate Intelligence Committee, and beyond, all of whom were looking into the DOJ's activities with respect to Trump-Russia collusion. And Cash Patel would spend many years essentially going through exposing all of it. When he later served as a deputy to the Director of National Intelligence, Rick Grenell at the time, he worked to expose, by declassifying many of the Russiagate documents, to expose, to bring to light to the American people the corruption there. But so this is someone who is the heart, at the heart of exposing maybe the greatest conspiracy in the history of the country to sabotage and subvert a president, treat him as a traitor to Russia. And as a consequence for it, one consequence was the government that he was investigating was spying on him at the same time. And of course, there are many leaks in which Patel was maligned in the media. And as he noted, of course, he had to move as a consequence of personal information exposed about him. So he's paid a dear price for daring to stare down the deep state. And so again, I'd ask, who better to serve in a place in the FBI that has been at the tip of the spear of politicization and weaponization than someone like him who has confronted it head on and has the scars to prove it?
Ben, you wrote a wonderful piece for The Federalist about, you know, the whistleblowers, about the corruption inside the FBI. Just how bad is it? Because I brought up in the opening just a few minutes ago, Cash has a mountain to climb. Now, he appears to be the guy who can climb it, but this is no easy task to clean out an evil secret state police agency like this.
This is an incredibly difficult task, in no small part because the deep state is probably the hardest nut to crack in the entirety of the administrative state because of the awesome powers that it has, the way it can sabotage and subvert people and leak, and because of potentially the corruption that's been there and the way that bureaucracies are resistant to radical change to begin with, before you get to the fact that this is, you know, has the awesome powers of a security state that we're talking about. So in that piece, I talked about how there's been this backlash to the Trump administration forcing out, in the case of the FBI, 8 top officials there, many of whom were promoted to these very high-level positions, running different branches or running significant offices like the Miami field office or the Washington, D.C. field office, many of them promoted under outgoing FBI Director Christopher Wray. And the backlash has been, how can you fire these very senior officials within the FBI? And the Trump administration's justification, without going person by person through the individuals forced out, is that they were part of the weaponization and hyper-politicization of the FBI. And what I honed in on in this piece is how at least 3 of the 8 officials there weaponized the security clearance process to sideline whistleblowers who made disclosures, some to their supervisors, their superiors in the FBI, and then others to Congress and beyond, of the weaponization and hyper-politicization in the FBI. And what these people were subjected to was mind-boggling to any fair-minded American. So you had people calling out, you know, the FBI abusing its powers or targeting people on political grounds, for example, for opposing the vaccine mandates, let's say, internally. And they would try and dredge up, sometimes based on their political beliefs, a predicate to call into question whether many of these officials, FBI officials, some of them with stellar records, should have their security clearances potentially pulled. And when this happens, when you have a probe into your security clearance as an FBI official, you're put on suspension, you're not allowed to work, you're not allowed to earn income, you're not allowed to seek out third-party employment or receive gifts to get by. So basically, the process is punishment. While they're going through probing your background to figure out whether or not you should have your security clearance revoked or not, this process can go on for months. Then you get a decision, revocation or not. Then you can appeal that decision if you're revoked. And you might be waiting months more just to get the file from your investigators telling you why you had your security clearance revoked, that you can then respond to within 30 days and try and defend yourself and get a final judgment on it. Many people in the FBI themselves leave before you ever get your case adjudicated, before you ever appeal it, essentially, because the process destroys you professionally, it destroys you personally. So I profile some of these people who had their security clearances targeted, and then to boot, others in the offices who blew the whistle on them being targeted for their political views, who themselves faced the retaliation of having their security clearances weaponized against them by having them suspended, investigated, and beyond. So I would say that based on that alone, the fact that 3 of 8 very high-level officials within the FBI were allegedly involved with weaponizing the security clearance processes, oftentimes against conservatives or people who refused the COVID mandate, vaccine mandate, I think that alone tells you what the rot and corruption is like. And that's before we get to, of course, the targeting of faithful Catholics as if they're somehow domestic terrorists, the January 6th Inquisition, the targeting of concerned parents against the indoctrination of their kids in racial Marxism by the FBI, and on and on. We can talk about all these examples of a bureau that, to your point, was basically used as state police, as secret police, and sicked on those who dared to dissent from regime orthodoxy. Kash Patel has a huge, tall task to try and reverse all that. The long knives are no doubt going to be out for him. But again, I'd say you trust someone who has been targeted by a deep state like that more than you would trust anyone else, because he hasn't been captured by these entities, yet he's worked alongside them, he's worked with them, and he's investigated them. It's no doubt a tall task, but he is someone who has the intestinal fortitude, I think, to take it on better than almost anyone trying to take on that kind of behemoth.
I feel better now. Thanks, Ben. I owe you for that. I feel better now. I just breathe a sigh of relief. I feel good. Thank you, brother. Come back soon. All right. Zelensky is borderline belligerent now with Trump. What happened there? What a moron. What happened? Let's talk to Cernovich about that next. Before we get to that, let's talk about getting you some good sleep. I'm going to sleep better just knowing Cash is in there, but still, you never know. I'm drinking coffee as we speak. What if I'm up too late? Well, I'll just get some dream powder from Beam. Wonderful dream powder. It's hot chocolate. Natural hot chocolate. It's got melatonin and things like that in it. And I nuke a little coffee cup of milk, mix it up, and I sip on it before bed. I go to sleep. I don't wake up in the middle of the night. And when I do wake up in the morning, I feel so good. I want to feel like that all the time without all that drug crap in your body. Shopbeam.com/Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
Think of it, a modestly successful comedian. President Zelensky talked the United States of America into spending $350 billion to go into a war that basically couldn't be won. He refuses to have elections, is low in the real Ukrainian polls. I mean, how can you be high with every city is being demolished? A dictator without elections. Zelensky better move fast or he's not going to have a country left. Got to move fast because that war is going in the wrong direction. In the meantime, we're successfully negotiating an end to the war with Russia, something I'll admit that only Trump is going to be able to do in the Trump administration. We're going to be able to do it. And Zelensky probably wants to keep the gravy train going. I don't know what's the problem, but he hasn't been able. He's very upset that he wasn't invited. He could have come if he wanted to, but that he wasn't invited to Saudi Arabia. But he's been working for 3 years. There's never been even meetings or phone calls to stop this war. It's a horrible thing.
Something went really cross between Zelensky and Trump. It's not surprising that Trump's trying to negotiate an end of the war. It was a campaign promise. He's digging in. He's fulfilling the promise. But for Trump to be as vocal as he's been against Zelensky the past couple days, Zelensky really crossed him bad, and what an idiot. Joining me now, Mike Cernovich, author, filmmaker, love having Mike on the show all the time. Mike, what did Zelensky do to make Trump mad, and how could you be that dumb when you have no leverage to make the guy with all the leverage angry?
I saw some speculation that Zelensky, during his meeting with J.D. Vance, had his usual braggadocio. The usual swagger, the usual I'm better than everyone else vibe. I don't have that confirmed. I haven't been told by anybody in the White House, but it wouldn't surprise me. Trump's tone definitely shifted, and it shifted aggressively. That wouldn't be hard. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't be hard to imagine Zelensky being rude to everyone because that's how he acts.
Yeah, Mike, could you maybe lay that out for me? Because I was actually thinking about this last night. I couldn't sleep for a little while, and I was laying up thinking, just kind of geopolitically, Why would you be that dumb? Why would you act that way? You have to know. I mean, look, I don't know the guy's IQ. You have to know you can't do that to Trump. And you dang sure know you can't be offering, you know, anti-Trump talking points to the television set. Anybody, my 14-year-old knows you can't do that to Trump, or you're going to make him angry, and then you're going to be in a bad spot. Is he dumb? What is it?
What happens to all people, you, me, every human, is that what gets us there doesn't always take us to the next level, right? That's a little mindset vibe or mindset plug. And if you're Zelensky and you steamroll everybody, you treat everyone like you're an A-list celebrity, or rather you're treated like you're royalty, then why would you, in your own mind, make that adjustment and understand that there's something going on or something different with Trump? Now, something I do want to throw into the ether, this is pure speculation to be clear, but with Tulsi Gabbard at DNI, with the new Trump administration in, it could be that Trump got the Ukraine files. Remember that first impeachment for Trump, the sham impeachment, the Ukrainian impeachment, the fabricated impeachment against him, was the result of a phone call with Zelensky where Trump wanted the Burisma files, Trump wanted the information, and now Trump has access to it. So imagine you're Trump and you have the files now because you have access to all of this. And you read the files. How would that shift your dealings with Zelensky and all of Ukraine?
Yeah, it sure as heck would. I hadn't even thought about that. Okay, speaking of all this, Roger Wicker, GOP senator, came out and said this. I see so much of this stuff.
Do you think that Putin can be trusted in these negotiations?
No. Putin is a war criminal and should be in jail for the rest of his life, if not executed.
Mike, I just can't believe the way people talk now. Wars end. It's been 3 years. Wars end. There's a loser. It's not annihilation. There's a negotiated peace. It's how virtually every war ends. Why is this one treated differently? What is it?
And what of Gonzalo Lira, right? We had an American who was kidnapped by the Zelensky regime, and he's trying to leave Ukraine. Tortured, denied medical care, killed. The Biden State Department was almost certainly in on it. They didn't advocate for him to come back. So my question, and this is a litmus test that I have, for example, Niall Ferguson, or however you want to say his name, is talking big about Ukraine and how Niall, he really understands history and great men and global affairs. And I always do a little experiment. I always run a search for Gonzalo, right? I always run a search. Let me see if you ever mentioned an American was held hostage by the Zelensky regime. Oh, wait, you never did. Oh, interesting. Okay, but you're a sincere actor. So the Republican is doing the same thing Niall and all these old neocons do, all these old guilt trippers do, and JD just totally bodied energy. I think this is the most important thing with the energy change right now is that we're just not taking it, dude. We're not taking the emotional blackmail. You're not going to say, oh, you guys want to end the war, or rather, we just want to end funding. Oh, you want to cut off funding? You guys are cowards. You guys, shut up, dorks. Shut up. Or Putin is a war criminal. Okay, great. We don't fund him, bro. That's what I don't get. Zelensky's a war criminal for what they did to Gonzalo Lira, an American citizen, who I'll throw in is a little quirky. Maybe that's why a lot of people in the Trump administration haven't said much about it. He was a strange guy. He went to Ukraine, was attacking the regime like he was an American, whatever. Now, a lot of people will be upset by that because they'll say, well, he's an American. He should say whatever he wants. But I think you and I are more of the mind that, hey, if you go to another country, you might want to mind your P's and Q's. But even so, he should not have been killed in a dungeon in Ukraine. And he was, and nobody cares. And nobody brought that up. It wasn't an international incident. But if you're some druggie who brings weed into Russia, oh, God, stop the presses. Oh, what an atrocity. Some druggie got arrested in Russia. We better get them out. But if all you did was run your mouth in Ukraine and Gonzalo was taking custody when he was trying to leave and kill, who cares? Who cares, right? Who cares, bro?
I can't let you go without asking you. Cash Patel, he has a mountain to climb. Mike, I'm excited about it. The people I trust Cash, so I'm all about it. I'm excited about it. But it is not an easy task before him. Cleaning out a secret police agency is ugly work, and it's dangerous work.
Yeah, Cash is going to face a lot of resistance within the FBI because a troubling statistic I saw from Comey's speech, or McCabe, I can't even keep track. They're all such the same, right? Carbon cutout regime apparatchiks. And apparently 40% of new hires happened under Christopher Wray, rather. See, McCabe, Wray, they're all the same. It's funny. So as much as the left is always talking about, well, there's not enough diversity, I can't even keep track of if Wray is any different from McCabe, is any different from Comey, right? They really are the same. Even if you follow as closely as we do, you go, no, actually that was Wray. So every agent who joined the FBI in the last administration, the last regime, is a Stasi member or an aspiring Stasi member. I would like to see mass firings, mass terminations of everybody who joined, because you knew what you're getting in at, right? It's one thing if you've been in there for 15 years. Easy for us to say, hey guys, give up your pension. We're so brave and you're so pathetic. You know, look at us, how brave we are. Just give up your pension, uproot your life because you don't like the J6 process. Whatever. I'm a little bit more nuanced on that. It's easy to talk big, right? But the people who wanted in on it, that's the Stasi. Those people all have to go. Everybody, fire them all.
Amen. Mike, come back soon, brother. Appreciate it.
Always a pleasure.
All right. Andrew Cuomo, you know, when he got the hook, there was a guy, he does a TV show on the first, it's called I'm Right, there was a guy who told you Andrew Cuomo will be back. I think Andrew Cuomo is coming back. Let's talk to Inez Stettman about that and other things in a moment. Before we talk to Inez, that same guy also told you about Pure Talk. He told you to switch your cell phone service because Verizon hates your guts. AT&T hates your guts. All this cultural filth we've seen, we have funded it. Because the corporate world has turned against us. We fund the corporate world. They take our money and use it against us. It's awful. It's awful how much of the destruction of our country we've paid for, myself included. You don't have to do that with your cell phone. Pure Talk, they'll give you the same service, same 5G network. You'll pay less, brand new phones, keep your phone, keep your number, brand new, whatever you want. Pure Talk has it, and they hire Americans. I love that. Today's the day to switch. PureTalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back. Well, you know, the last thing I would ever do is brag on myself or draw attention to, you know, things that I've been right about. But remember when Andrew Cuomo got the hook for having, you know, the magic fingers as the governor and they threw him out of office? And I told you he still has $18 million in a campaign war chest and he's a political animal and he's most definitely coming back. Remember when I told you that? Yeah, News 12 New York's reporting the man is set to make a run for mayor. Ha ha. The old Oracle nailed it again. Joining me now to congratulate me and talk about this is my friend Inez Stettman, senior policy analyst from the Independent Women's Forum. Inez, do you have anything you'd like to say to me right now?
Oh, what, you mean commenting on your genius and foresight? I mean, I feel like you've left nothing left to say.
Thanks, Inez. That's all I needed to hear from you. No, all right, so how does this work? Obviously, he's a political animal from a political family. He's now going to be mayor? That's a bit of a downgrade.
I mean, it is and it isn't in New York, right? Don't forget that Rudy Giuliani ran for president coming out. I mean, being the mayor of a city of 9 million people is not like, you know, being the mayor, like a small town mayor. It's more people than I think some states probably. I don't know the exact number of people, for example, in Wyoming, but you know, governing New York City is quite a big job. So,
yeah. All right. And as for those of us who are not New Yorkers, which you are, how does this work? What do the politics look like in New York? Because they don't all get along. We look at a Democrat state. We see Letitia James. We see Kathy Hochul. We see Eric Adams. We see all these the Alvin Braggs, and we think, well, they're all on the same team. But New York is a famously competitive state where Democrats will slip a knife between the ribs of the next Democrat in line in a heartbeat. So, who's friends with who?
I'm not sure if anyone knows at this point, but the tension between the governor and the mayor of New York City is not a new phenomenon. I do want to point out that both of these people, so Cuomo almost certainly was taken out by an interior Democrat hit to avoid, in part, questions about the decisions he made about nursing homes during COVID, right? So instead, there was this sort of internal Democrat hit to take him out for being a little too handsy and making some comments in the office. I guess Me Too is now just the weapon du jour among Democrats to take out each other behind the scenes. But just like what happened with Eric Adams, it really seems like a case one was, I guess, selective Me Too-ing, and the other one, selective prosecution. Because I have a hard time imagining that Bill de Blasio wasn't accepting, you know, first-class upgrades on his flight and nice hotel rooms. Famously, he was very cozy with developers in New York. So, like, this level of corruption is sort of endemic, not just to New York, but unfortunately to many of America's large blue cities. So, you know, it does smack a little bit of selective prosecution then, that the fact that Eric Adams was taken out, which for really ticky-tack kind of stuff. This wasn't, like, grand Tammany Hall-level corruption. This was, you know, upgrades in hotel rooms for pushing the permitting process a little faster.
Yeah, and honestly, for a New York politician, I don't even think that rises to the level of crimes. New Jersey, there's stuff in gold bars underneath the bed. Get with the program, New York. Okay, let's switch gears a little bit here because it's kind of national. How's Donald Trump able to kill congestion pricing in New York? What happened here?
Okay, so there's two things involved here. One is the fact that this congestion pricing is affecting travel coming from New Jersey into New York. Now, we think about the tri-state area as one blob, but it is, in fact, three separate states. And so there's interstate travel involved here. The other aspect is that apparently there's a law on the books from 1916 that allows the federal government to veto a toll on any road that was built in part with federal funds, which is virtually all roads, major highways, and so on. I'm actually not 100% sure about the constitutionality of that law. Here, I would look at the case South Dakota against the United States. That this is when the federal government tried to institute the drinking age at 21 in all states, and South Dakota was a holdout and said, "No, we're going to serve, you know, 18-year-olds beer in our bar, and that's our decision." And the federal government came in and said, no, you have to, because, you know, the number of drunk drivers on the road is correlated with, you know, where the drinking age is. And therefore, we, the federal government, have the right to tell South Dakota what its drinking age should be if they want federal highway funds. This is a closer nexus than that. The Supreme Court upheld that, but a lot of conservatives, myself included, think that was probably a mistake. This is a closer nexus, though, than that, right? Now you're talking about federally funded roads, and a toll being laid on top of that road is directly authorized by Congress, the power for the federal government to say, nope, we don't want that toll. So, you know, at least on federal law, I think the Trump administration's on pretty solid ground here, actually. Even though it's surprising. I had the same surprise reaction. I was like, how can the federal government tell New York City where to have its toll, like what stupid tolls you can put on? But apparently there is a congressionally authorized power to do this.
Okay. And as before I let you go real quick, I have to ask you about the piece you wrote about Trump in universities. What can he do to change the rotten system we have?
There's so much he can do, and I think his administration is already working on. There really are two major hammers here. One is that universities are completely dependent on federal money. We were just talking about federal highway funds, right? Universities, much more direct recipients of the federal teat. First of all, there's billions of grants. They make up, you know, anywhere from about 50% of the operating budget of a lot of Ivy League universities. That's in grants for research. Now, some of that might be, you know, good research that we want money going to, like research on cancer. A lot of it, as we're seeing with the DOGE spotlight on all of these government agencies, is for DEI programs, is for actively pernicious, you know, government BS that really shouldn't be funded by the American taxpayer. So that's one lever against them, is all these grants, which DOGE is going through as we speak. The second lever is just the student loan programs. I mean, the actual lifeblood of universities and the reason they've been able to raise tuition year after year well above inflation and put such a squeeze on so many middle-class families is because the federal government underwrites the student loan program. Like, if you think about it, like, if you went to a bank and you said, I want to attend a 2000th ranked, you know, small university, and I want to study queer studies, okay, and I want a loan for $150,000, you know, Wells Fargo is going to look at that application and say, how do you plan to pay back $150,000? Whereas the federal government just gives a blank check, and that allows universities to keep raising the price, right? Because there's just this blank loan system that keeps up with the price of tuition. So in both those cases, universities are vulnerable. They've been violating the Civil Rights Act, Title VI, VII, and IX over and over again, blatantly, repeatedly, and publicly. They have just made themselves incredibly vulnerable. And from what I hear, Congress and the Trump administration are looking at a tax on endowments. So universities in a world of hurt, potentially, in the next year. So,
yes, yes. Burn it all down, Trump.
It's happening.
Inez, thank you so much. So excited. Inez, thank you. Come back soon. All right, we have Light in the Mood. Next. All right, it is time to lighten the mood. And this is a political light in the mood. You know, there's an old saying, never interrupt your enemy when he's making a mistake. The Democrat Party has turned into the party of radicalized freaks that are kind of not pleasant to be around. And so you'd probably, if you have those people in your party, want them to tone it down. Jasmine Crockett, the loudmouth moron congresswoman from the Dallas area here in Texas, she is apparently the new media darling. She's on TV every day. Smile. This woman is writing GOP ads for the midterms every single day.
He right now has a 53% approval rating. It's higher than it's ever been. Yeah. 70% believe that he's fulfilling his promises. And 45% believe Democrats should be more moderate. What do you take away? I think there's a lot to make of those numbers. But what's your takeaway from that?
My takeaway is just like the election. We've got to do better at education. People don't understand. But you will understand when those hospitals in rural America start closing down even more. You will understand when you don't have your Social Security. You will understand when your Medicaid, your Medicare goes away. You will understand as planes continue to fall out of the sky. Soon you will understand why it's important to maybe have somebody that isn't loud and ridiculous, and maybe Sleepy Joe is what we wanted because we could at least sleep at night.
Yeah, that's the truth. Amen, child.
I encourage Democrats to continue right along that road. You go, girl. I'll see you tomorrow.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.